Today's daf is Chulin Daf Dalid, and we are three lines from the bottom of Daf Gimel Amid Beis Tanu Rabbanan. Today's daf is being learned Li'ilui Nishmas Reb Tzvi Betzalel Ben Reb Moshe Ar. So we're moving along in the very beginning of Maseches Chulin. We're learning the very first Mishnah of Maseches Chulin, which discusses the laws of Shechita, specifically who can shecht and who cannot shecht. The Mishnah began, HaKol Shechten Hu Shechitasan Ksheira. And the Avodah of the first two dafin was, HaKol is always L'Rabbis. Who exactly is HaKol coming to be Marba? Additionally, whoever HaKol is coming to be Marba, there seems to be a contradiction in Mashmos, whether that person is able to shecht l'chatchila or only b'di'evet. Hakol shechten sounds like l'chatchila. Ushchitas and ksheira sounds like b'di'evet. And what emerged from the Gemara was six different approaches from the Amiran to explain Pashup Shat in the Mishnah. Rabbi Bar Ula said, Hakol is coming to be marba atame. Abaye and Rava both said that it's coming to be marba akuti. Rav Ashi said that it's coming to be marba a mumur oichel nevelois l'teyavoin. And Ravina, depending on which version, said it's coming to be marba either a mumcha that's enoi muchsik or a muchsik that's enoi mumcha. Today's daf is going to do a little bit of a deep dive into two of the aforementioned halachas, into two things that sort of emerged from the first two dafin of the Masechta. Number one, that there's an idea that a kuti is able to shecht, albeit according to Abaye v'Rava. Number two, there's an idea that a mumur oichel neveleis l'teyavoin is able to shecht, albeit according to Rav Ashi. Oh, and by the way, we saw it's also the opinion of Rava. So today's daf, in terms of the amount of ground that we're going to cover, is going to be short. Bezer Hashem will make up for it with Raid and tomorrow. But for now, the first part of the daf is going to be a brief discussion of the concept of a kuti being able to shecht. Second part of the daf is going to be a brief discussion of the concept of a mumur oichel nevelos l'teyavoin being able to shecht. So again, let's just set the stage for the first part of the daf. Abaye and Rava both said that when the Mishnah says akol shechten, what the Mishnah is essentially saying is that a kuti is allowed to shecht. We mentioned yesterday that there are really two chedushim in the fact that a kuti would be able to shecht. Number one, it presupposes that a kuti is a yid. We know one of the greatest debates of all time was whether the kutim were yidden or not yidden. Were they geiri emes or were they geiri arayas? To the extent that a kuti is not a yid in halacha, the notion of him being able to shecht would be dead on arrival because he's an Ein Yehudi, and as we're going to see, it's Mefurisha, Mishnayas, and Sugyas, that someone that's a non-Jew is for sure not allowed to shecht. So the fact that Abaye and Rava hold that Akel Sheikhtin is the rabbi's kuti, that means that at the very least, a kuti is a yid. Additionally, it presupposes that the kutim were careful with the laws of Shechita, which is a huge chiddush, because Shechita is something that's very much rooted in Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. It's rooted in Messiah, and as much as the Kutim may be warrior and not Yidden, but one thing is for sure, the way they conducted themselves was not like Yidden. They were mekabel, the idea of Torah Misinai. They accepted the Torah Shebiksav, but as far as the very unique oral tradition and the Messiah that we have, that was something that they rejected. And being that the laws of Shechita, certainly the five halachas of Moshe Misinai, are by the very definition things that we know orally, things that are not nefurish in the Torah, it's a chiddush that you would think that the Kutim would be sensitive to it. But at the same time, it was mavur from the Mishnah that's the way it is. As a matter of fact, the way Abaye and Rava explained the part of the Mishnah that says Uchitas and Ksheira is that even if you didn't see the Kuti Shecht, but if he eats from the Basar, then b'di'evet you're allowed to eat. Because for sure the Kuti would only eat if the shechita was a proper shechita. If that's the case, why don't we assume that even if you didn't see him shecht, that for sure he did a good shechita, because doesn't it say in the Torah, v'lifnei iver lo yisita michshol? The Torah says they have a different understanding of what exactly v'lifnei iver lo yisita michshol means. But the bottom line is, to understand that kol shechten u'shechitas in kshera, number one, you have to accept that the kutim margeri emes, that for sure. Number two, to understand ushchitas san kshera b'di'eved, as long as they eat from the basar, you have to accept the fact that the kutim were nizer in hilcha shchita, albeit for themselves. Either way, the Gemara now is going to bring with this discussion of a kuti being able to shecht, which Abaye and Rava retrofitted back into the Mishnah, is really a mefurish, a braisa, and it's from that braisa that we're going to talk a little bit about the kutin. So we keep on saying that the sugi of the kutin is in the beginning of Masechtas Chulin. Kutin featured prominently in yesterday's daf, they're going to feature prominently in today's daf, but believe it or not, the real sugi of the kutin, we're not even going to have until Davov. That's one of the most important gemaras in Shas as it relates to the kutin, but we have some time until we get to that. Says the Gemara. Three lines from the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Tanu Rabbanon, Shchitas Kuti Muteres. The Shchita of a guy is okay, or of a kuti, I should say, is okay. But Medvar Mamur, when is that true? She's throwing him in Agab. That's if the Yid that was watching. Avo Ba'um Matsoy Sheshacha. But let's say Yid did not watch the kuti shecht, but he walked into his house and he saw that he literally had just shechted. He's holding the knife. There's blood that's dripping from it. There's a dead animal in front of him. But Lameisa, he didn't see him do the shechita. So the Alach is Choytech Kizayis. He can cut a Kizayis. V'noisenlai. And he can give it to the kuti to eat. If he eats it, mutalachal mishchitasai. Because the kuti himself is nizer in the laws of shchita. So if he eats it, that means everything must be okay. For him lav. And if he doesn't eat it, asalachal mishchitasai. In that instance, it's not going to be okay. Sounds familiar? This is the way Abaye and Rava learned the first line of the Mishnah. If it's a mefurish of braisa, what's the chiddush of Abaye and Rava? That's a silly question. The Mishnah Lav Davka was saying the halacha of this braisa. Abaye and Rava were mechadish that the hakoil of the Mishnah was the Rabbi Stakuti, and the way you reconcile hakoil ksherin ushchitasan kshera was by telling me it's talking about a kuti. Did I see him do it? That's when it's hakol shoichtan lekatchila. Did I not see him do it? If I give him to eat, then it's going to be kosher. B'di'evet. True, the Iker Halacha that Abaye and Rava are applying to the Mishnah is a Mefurish Abraisa. Their Chiddush is that although the Mishnah doesn't say Mefurish, that it's talking about a Kuti, I want you to know that is really what the Mishnah is referring to. Now the Braisa continues and says, Kayoitzabai, I'll tell you a similar halacha, Matzah biyadoi dekur yeshal tziparim, in the event that somebody found that a kuti had a dekur yeshal tziparim. Now it's machlok is Rashi and Tosfos, what is exactly a dekur is. Rashi says, Machroizai shal tziparim shchuten. So machroizis, that word sounds familiar, that's of Perik Elu Metzias fame. Machroizai shal dagim. So machroizis shal tziporin shchutin would be strings where you have these tziporim, these birds, these chickens that have been shachut, and they're all near each other. Taisva says the kuri means a sal, it's a basket. Bottom line is, there's a kuti who has a whole bunch of these tziporim that were shchutin. Says the braisa that if this yid wants to know whether he can eat from it or not, so follow the instructions that we mentioned in the first part of the braisa. He can chop off the head of one of them and give it to the kuti. If the kuti eats it, then you would be allowed to eat it as well, because he's nizer and shchita. So if he's eating it, must be it's okay for you. And if the kuti doesn't eat it, in that instance, it's not going to be okay. Adkan divrei habraisa. So again, what you see from the reish of the braisa, that's what we're going to focus on first. The sefer, the braisa, we'll focus on second. But as it relates to the reish of the braisa, really we have the halacha of Abaye and Rava. Now, if you remember, there was a machlokes Abaye v'Rava in terms of exactly in a nuanced way had it been mefarish in the Mishnah. And really, it's a machlokes in Hilchis Gadol Oimed al Gabov when it comes to the laws of Shechita. According to Abaya, the only time it's Akol Shoichtan L'chatchila is if the Yisrael is literally Oymed Al Gabov. What would be if he was Yoitzev and Nichnas? That's Ushchitas and Ksheira only Bidiyevet. Rava had a raya from a mission in the Masech Tzavoy Dezara. That you see when it comes to the laws of Yayin Nesech, Yoitzev and Nichnas is the equivalent thereof to being a God Oymed Al Gabov. So Akol Shoichtan L'chatchila is even where it's Yisrael is being Yoitzev and Nichnas. Shchitas and Ksheira is only where he wasn't even Yoitzev and Nichnas. So the Gemara now is going to say that Abaya and Rava respectively both developed their position, which ultimately led to two different of the six pshatim and how to understand the Mishnah from a diktuk in this brisa. Again, we have a brisa that's mamish the halacha of Abaye v'Rava, but we know there's a machlekes Abaye v'Rava. So the Gemara says, believe it or not, Abaye v'Rava both extrapolated their shita from a diktuk in the brisa. How so? Abaye daik mireish. Abaye was medaik from the reish. Rava daik misefer. Rava was medaik from the sefer. Abaye daik mireish. Abaye was medaik from the reish. Time of the Yisrael, Emel al-Gabov. What did the Reisha say? The Reisha said, Shechitas kutim uteres l'chatchilo. But medvar mamurim kishi Yisrael oymed al gabav. Oh, what does it sound like? You have to have a Yisrael oymed al gabav. Avul yoytzev v'nichnas. Let's say the Yisrael's not oymed al gabav all the years since yoytzev v'nichnas. Lo, it wouldn't be okay. Rav adayik min seifa. Rav was medayik from the seifa. What did the seifa say? That in the event, avul bo matzoy sheshachat, then chayta gizayis v'noysen lo. What does it sound like? Time of the bo matzoy sheshachat. It sounds like only because he wasn't even yoytzev v'nichnas. He only came after. The fact of Yoitzev Nichnas, had he been Yoitzev Nichnas, Shapir Dami, it would have been okay. Says the Gemara, Labaya Kasha Sefer. Meaning, if Abaya is Dayak Mireisha and Rav is Dayak Misefer, so what does that mean? That means Abaya has to explain the Sefer and Rav has to explain the Reisha. So Abaya first. Abaya, Lechura, the Sefer sounds like Bo Umotza. It sounds like he wasn't even being Yoitzev Nichnas. He just showed up after the fact. That when it's considered by the Yavit. But had he been Yoitzev and Nichnas, that would be the equivalent of Yisrael, Eimet al-Gabav. Amalach, Abaye is going to tell you, no, Yoitzev and Nichnas, nami po matzi karle. What does it mean? It means he walked in. Yeah, he walked in. He was being Yoitzev and Nichnas the whole time. And one of the times that he was Yoitzev and Nichnas, he found him in that fashion. There's no way in the world that's a raya that Yoitzev and Nichnas is the equivalent of Yisrael, Eimet al-Gabav. As a matter of fact, I think it stems very nicely, that part of the brisa, with my understanding that is Yoitzev and Nichnas is really not the same as Yisrael, Eimet al-Gabav. Says the Gemara, the Rava Kasha Reisha, according to Rava, L'chayrus Hashver the Reisha, why does the Reisha say, B'medvar Mamurum Kishi Yisrael, Eimet al-Gabav, even if his Yoitzev and Nichnas isn't that okay? He's going to tell you, Yoitzev and Nichnas, Nami Koimel al-Gabav Dami. We know in Halacha, Yoitzev and Nichnas is always like Eimet al-Gabav. See, the Mishnah and the end of Avodah Zarah, right? That creates the Mirsas. So it's true, it says Yisrael, Eimet al-Gabav, but at the same time, in Halacha, Yoitzev and Nichnas is Yisrael, Eimet al-Gabav. Again, it's a little kvetchy, but the bottom line is, Zokta Gemara, Abaye was Medayik Reisha, Rava was Medayik from the Sefer. Abaye can very easily be Miyashiv the Sefer. Rava can also easily be Miyashiv the Reisha. And really what we end up with in so many sugis and chas, and that is Abaye just like he always did, saw it one way, and Rava like he always did, saw it another way. But the bottom line is the halacha of Abaye and Rava, which was backed into the first line of the Mishnah, as we see, is a Mefurisha Braisa. That's the first Hoysofa to the previous two Dafin that we have right in the beginning of today's Daf. Additionally, we're Abaye and Rava both got their Shitas respectively in terms of how we treat Yoitzev Nichnas, which was the Machloikas Abaye and Rava in yesterday's Daf. Abaye was Medayikit from the Reishon of this Braisa, and Rava was Medayikit from the Seifa of this Braisa. Now we're moving along to the real Sefer of the Braisa. So the Reisha and the Sefer that Abaye and Rava are talking about are the Reisha and the Sefer of the Reish. Now we have the real Sefer. What was the real Sefer of the Braisa? Ki Yoitzabai, a similar halacha. Matzah b'yadi d'kur yishal tziparim, k'teya roishai v'chulu. So what's the Ki Yoitzabai? Just like if you see that a kuti shecht, but you weren't watching him shecht, the halacha is there's a b'dievediga option, k'teya kizayis v'noisan loy, and achlem mutalachem eshchitasai. The same is true if he has a d'kur yishal tziparim, tziparim shchutin, like Rashi says, and you want to know if you could eat it, k'teya roishai shalachem yeh v'noisan loy, achlem mutalachem eshchitasai, it's going to be okay. That's the Ki Yoitzabai. Says the Gemara, I don't understand the case of the Ki Yoitzabai. Why is it that if the kuti has the kuriyah shall tziparim, just cut off the head of one of them, give it to him to eat, it's going to be okay? Leichesh do mahayhu da have a shachet shaper. Maybe that one that the kuti's eating, that one was shachet. But how do you know the whole dekuriyah, the whole string according to Rashi, the whole basket according to Tosfos, how do you know that all of it is okay? Maybe that one is okay. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Menashe. Rav Menashe said, Simin machnes izemel b'scharim. It's talking about b'machnis and tachas knafav. It's talking about with a yid who's testing the kuti to see whether he's going to eat it or not. He took all the tziparim and he put them underneath his beged. He's a brave man. And then he gave one of them to the kuti to eat. So the kuti doesn't know which one he's eating. So obviously he's comfortable eating whichever one it is. Must be. It's because they're all shachat. But the Gemara says, V'dilma simana have lebegaveh. Maybe he had a little bit of a simen, meaning initially he put them all underneath his baguette, but then, you know, when he took it out and he gave him a little something, for the minute he saw it, and maybe he noticed the simen. It's talking about where he crushed the head, meaning he mamish put it in a way where it looks like something just smashed, and as a result, even if he had a simen, the simen's not going to be there anymore. The bottom line is, by him eating this one thing, that's a giluy that everything must be okay, because there's no way for the kuti to know what's not. But says the Gemara, I have another problem. Maybe the kutim are of the opinion that the whole concept of shchita sa'if is not a din da'iraisa. Meaning, I understand that we trust the kutim when it comes to the laws of shchita. But al rishayna manu mitzaren. It's really a very big chiddush that we do that. But tainas the Gemara, maybe we only trust him when it comes to gases, when it comes to behemoths. But when it comes to an oif, such as the dekuryus shel tziparim, maybe over there the kutim shouldn't be trusted, because maybe they were not nizer in the laws of shchita for themselves, because there's a shita in shas, as we're going to learn. If you look at the Maseres Hashas, the Kamon daf chav zayin, daf chav ches, daf pehe, and daf pehe vav. So apparently this is something that's going to come up a few times in Masechta Shulin, that ain't shchita la'if min ha'Torah. So how could you say that just like when it comes to Hakol Shoichtin, so too it's going to be true for the Kurya Shal Tzipar? Maybe Hakol Shoichtin is talking about behemoths. And by behemoths, the Kutim were nizer in the laws of Shchita. But when it comes to the Kurya Shal Tziparim Daika, when it comes to Oifis, being that there's a Shita in Shchita Oif Min HaTorah, maybe that's the opinion of the Kutim, and therefore you shouldn't be able to trust them. In other words, the Brice is saying, just like you can use this b'di'evedigim method when it comes to behemoths, k'yaitzibah, you can also work it by tzipar. Maybe not. Maybe dafka by behemoths, not for oifes. But the Gemara responded, and the Gemara said, l'tamech, according to you, shia, drasa, chalada, hagrama, v'ikur. This is the question everybody's been asking. The five halachas, l'moishim yisina, that govern the laws of shchita. Mik, sivan, does it say those halachas anywhere in the Torah? What do you have to say? We know that they were nizer in it, and being that we know they were nizer in it, even though it's not mefurish in the Torah, it is what it is. Hachinami, you have to say the Tana, the Braisa held that the kutim were nizer when it came to the laws of shchita seif as well, and even though ain't shchita life in the Torah, but lemaisa they were nizer. And kivan dachziku achziku, meaning there's some anomaly that's playing itself out over here as it relates to the laws of shchita. You see that they were nizer in shchitas behema on our standards, even though it is something that's very much rooted in Messiah, but afilu hachi, this is the way it is. And Chazal said that we trust there's a yiras even for us. Well, if that's the case, we know they were nizer when it came to shchitim and oif as well, or at least that would be the opinion of this Tana. And even though there's makom to be mefakfik in it, because ain't shchita life min ha'Torah, but there's makom to be mefakfik on their entire zehiras in the laws of shchita based on the five halachas on Moshe Sinai. The teretz is kivin dachziku b'achziku ba. So too when it comes to oif, there's no reason to say that that would be treated any differently, says the Gemara. V'achzuk v'loy achzuk b'deloy k'siva tanoi. So what does this even mean? So there's a long Rashi, and Rashi throws in a kolaymar in the middle. What's emerging is a very interesting chiddush, and that is the kutim traditionally were only nizer and tayrish, except they weren't nizer and tayrish of alpeh. Stating that when it came to shchita, apparently they were nizer. And because they were nizer, we trusted them. It's a chiddush. Maybe if it's not something that's mefurish in the Torah, even if they claim that they're nizer, so for them, maybe it's a good thing. But for us, no way in the world. Maybe we're not going to be seimach on it. It's mevur that we are seimach on it, right? That's one of the chidushim of shchita skuti. One is that they're geri emes. Number two, that they were nizer in shchita. And by the way, it's almost like a third. It's like a 2A, right? We could trust there's a hiris even for ourselves. Says the Gemara that I think this inyan of where something is not mefurish in the Torah, Lu Yehei, you know that the kutim on nizer, whether or not that would translate to us being able to be soimich lididan for our purposes on their zahiris, that's be'etzem a machloikis tanon. What is the origin to this machloikis tanon? It's a braisa, and if it sounds familiar, it's in a prime real estate sugya, it's in Gittin, daf yud amud aleph. So this is a gemara that's learned in yeshiva. The tanya we learned in the braisa, matzas kuti, the matzis of a kuti, yeah, the matzis of Pesach fame, muteres, yitz allowed to eat. So if the kuti baked the matzah, you're allowed to eat it. Vadim yitz beidecha, vasi be'pesach. Not just that, you could even be yitz, you chiyav on Pesach. The more we'll explain what the chiddush of that is. If you're allowed to eat it, that means it's presumed to be matzah. So if it's matzah, so, right? Why shouldn't I be able to be yitz my chayv Pesach? And if he baked it Erev Pesach, it could be my Erev Pesach matzah too, right? So what would be the big deal? What's the separate chiddush of Adam yitz be'yidecha vasi be'pesach? Rebleza says that no, matzah skuti is not okay. L'fisha im bekim b'diktukei mitzvah ki yisrael. Because let's be honest, you can trust them to bake matzahs. They don't know diktukei mitzvahs. And as a result, absolutely not. Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel said, kol mitzvah shechziku b'kutim, any mitzvah that the kutim take upon themselves, harbe mitzvah. They're actually more careful than the Yidden themselves. Again, this is another braisa that brings out the ambiguity with which the Tanoim view the Kutim. It was so confusing exactly how you're supposed to treat them. But either way, three shitas specifically regarding the matzahs of a Kuti. Again, Tanakama said, matzahs Kuti muteres, not just that, you can even be in Yoitze Yidei Chayvase B'Pesach. Rabbi Leza Oyser, Fisha'im Bekim B'Taktukei Mitzvahs, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said they're even better. Kol Mitzvah Shechziku B'Kutim, Harbe Medaktikim B'Yoysim Yisrael. So the Gemara is going to tease apart this Braisa first, explain what the three shitas are, and from there the Gemara is going to try to show where you see that achsuk v'loy achsuk b'deloy k'siva is really a machloikis tam. So the Gemara says, "Amamar matzah skuti muteres, the matzah v'kuti is muter v'adam yitz b'deicha v'asi b'pesach pshita." What's the pshita? It's not pshita that matzah skuti is muteres. You see, not everybody agrees with that. It's pshita that if it's muteres, then adam yitz b'yudeicha v'asi b'pesach. Muteres means you could trust that it's not chametz. Meaning it's matzah. If it's matzah, why shouldn't you be able to be yoitzer yechiv on Pesach? By the way, just to state the obvious, what does it mean, adam yoitzer b'yedei chayvasa b'Pesach? It means that on Pesach, number one, there's an issa to eat chametz. Additionally, there's also a chiv to eat a kezayis of matzah on the first night of Pesach, because it says Be'erev Teichlu Matzahs. Essentially, what we're saying is Matzahs Kuti Muteres, it's not Chometz, so you can eat it, Bershos, the whole Yontif. Additionally, as it relates to that Chiv of Be'erev Teichlu Matzahs, you could be Yoitz and Yekizayas with that. But the Gemara says it's obvious. It's the same standard, right? To the extent it's not Chometz, so it's Matzah. If it's Matzah, why shouldn't you be able to be Yoitz? The Gemara says it's not the same standard, because Maldotem, I would have thought Leibikia Beshimur. One of the halachas that govern the Kizayas Matzah with which a person's yoytzes chiyuv be'erev teichlu matzahs is that ushmartem es hamatzos, that you need a shmira, you need that it should be done l'shma. One of the sugyas of l'shma is in the sugya of matzah. So I would have thought that it's true, we could trust him that the dough didn't rise, and we could trust him that it's nachametz. But to say that he was mekayim the mitzvah of shmira, the mitzvah of l'shma mehechatei, see, kamash malon, that's the extra chiddush. Rabbi Eliezer said, no, matzah skuti is awesome. Because you can't trust them. Meaning, also, not only can't you be yoytze yechi of matzah, but also you're not even allowed to eat it. Says the Gemara, savar. It's because Rabbi Eliezer holds loy bekiyah b'shimur. They're not bekiyah in shimur. Now Rashi says that the word shimur here does not mean what it meant one line ago, because Rabbi Eliezer is not just saying that you can't be yoytze yechi of erev teichlu matzahs. If that's what he was saying is, you would say, loy bekiyah b'shimur. That ma'u detema that we had a line ago, that's where Rabbi Eliezer holds l'maisa. But Rabbi Eliezer says, oyster. Rabbi Eliezer says, you can't eat it. He doesn't say, you're not yoitzer with it. Oyster, you physically can't eat it. Because he's concerned that it might be chametz. So what then does loy bekiyah b'shimur mean? It means that you can't even trust that they watched it, that it didn't rise, so that you don't even trust that it's not chametz. And that's what Leib Akiva Shimur is. Now Rashi says it's a little nakishmak, it's a bissel imbakvamed, that one line ago, Maudetem Leib Akiva Shimur means the din lishma. And over here, Kasav Leib Akiva Shimur means that it's even going to be chametz. And because of that, Rashi says, could be we have to be magia, the Girsa and the Gemara, and maybe the words are not Leib Akiva Shimur, but maybe really what he's saying is that it's something that is completely not okay. If you take a look at the first wide line, Dersh the Bright Tashir, Dibra Maskel Kasav Leib Kiyah b'shimur loy garsina, right? Rashi says, because a minute ago loy kiyah b'shimur meant something else. So Rashi already was ma'ir. I think something's funny with the girsa here, because probably Usually, in the poetic symmetry of the sugya, would work very well. But in the Havan of the Gemara, it actually doesn't stem. Shim Gamliel is the third sheet. He said, "Kol mitzvah shechzigu b'kutim, any mitzvah that the kutim were machzik in, harbei medaktik and b'yoysim miyisrael." They're even more medaktik than the yin. Faith the Gemara. Haynu Tanakama. From a halachic perspective, isn't Rav Shimon Gamliel essentially repeating the sheet of the Tanakama? Now, there's a heritage in Rav Shimon Gamliel. You should know the kutim. You're having a discussion whether you can trust them. Let me tell you something. I've met some kutim that are more frum than the frumest yid you ever met. I hear, very interesting, something worth exploring. We probably should psychoanalyze this a little bit. But Lamaisa, this is a Bryce. And the Bryce is telling me, tachlis, what he essentially must be of the opinion is that matzas kuti is muteres, v'adam yoytze be'yidei chayvase be'pesach. And if that's the truth, says the Gemara, haynu tanakamos, ok Gemara, ikibay nayu, the nafkamina is, dechsiva v'loy achzikuba. The nafkamina is, what would be, if you have a mitzvah that's mentioned in the Torah, so it's mefurish in the Torah Shabiksav, but at the same time, we have no chazaka. Rashi says, we don't know whether they were machzik in this mitzvah or they weren't machzik in this mitzvah. That's what's going on. Tanakama holds, keeping the chziva, being that it's mentioned mefurish in the Torah, you could trust them even if you don't have a mefurish chazaka. Rav Shimon Gamliel Sava, you want to know where Rav Shimon Gamliel is coming to argue? Maybe not even in Hilchas Matzahs, but Rav Shimon Gamliel is coming to argue, is he's coming to say, that it's not enough that it's ksiva to say, oh, the kutim are very from when it comes to things that are ksiva. You also have to know that they were machzik. Notice, Rav Shimon Gamliel, in his very flowery language, was coming to actually minimize and mitigate and diminish the sheet of the Tanakam. Tanakama holds matzas kuti muteres vadim yoytze dei chavase bepesach, and it's true for any mitzvah that is mefurish in the Torah, as long as it's ksiva, right? It's mefurish in the Torah, even if it's as far as we know, layachzikuba. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, I am not so maskim. I have a lesser opinion than you do of the kutim. I hold that to the extent that it's ksiva v'layachzikuba, you can't trust them. Now, does this make sense? Faith to Gemara, doesn't sound that way. It sounds like Rav Shimon Gamliel was coming to make less. It sounds like fakir. He was so flowery. He was trying to put them on a pedestal. You have no idea how from these kutim are. Faith to Gemara, ihachi oibasnoi, kol mitzvah shechzikuba kutim, that language of any mitzvah that the kutim were machzik, right? You have to say this with a little animation, with a little niggin. That's the wrong way of presenting this. You know what he should have said? Im hichziku mi bayale. He should have said the word im. Right? He should have been nitpicking a little bit. He should have said, one second, Tanakama, you need a little disclaimer over here. You should say clearly that it's only true if it's only achzikuba. Ellis, the Gemara says, you're right. You have to say that whatever the machloikis is, Reb Shimon Gamliel is actually the one that's saying more. Ella, ikibinai, I'll tell you what the nafkamina is. The loik siva, the achzikuba. The nafkamina is, what would be if you have something that's not mefurish in the Torah, but at the same time they were achzikuba. Tanakama, so Tanakama holds, keep it loik siva, being that it's loik siva, afagapta achzikuba, namilai. I don't care that they're achzikuba. If it's loik siva, that's loik siva. Reb Shimon Gamliel sava, Reb Shimon Gamliel holds, kivan the achzik. Achzuk. Even if it's like siva, it's achzuk, achzuk. In other words, what's the machloikis between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel? The machloikis is, in the words of the Gemara, whether or not ichzikuba, but it's like siva, is it considered a chazaka or is it not considered a chazaka? According to the Tanakama, no. According to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, yeah. And that's what the Gemara meant when it said, Achsuk, veloy achsuk, bidoloy ksiva, tanoi. What's the machlokes tanon? It's the machlokes tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel in the Braisa regarding matzas kuti. What does it have to do with our sugya? It has a lot to do with our sugya, because the Braisa that we started today's daf with, which, by the way, according to Abaya and Rava, is really the topic of the Mishnah, we're making a big assumption, and that is, we're saying that something that is not mefurish in the Torah, but it's achsuk, it's considered a chazaka. Where does it play itself out? That in the event that a kuti shechts, and he goes ahead and he eats from that shechita, you now would be allowed to eat it. as chomer as machalos asuris is, as much as it relates to the v'hivdilanu minatoyim, as much as it has to do with the kedusha of Klal Yisrael. But afilu achi, if the kuti eats from it, we can rely on it. Why? Because if he's achsuk, it's like siva. Clearly, the Tana of the Mishnah, Libet Abayi v'Rava, which is also the Tana, the Brice, is of the opinion that even something that's like siva, to the extent that it's achsuk, but that in and of itself will be okay. And by the way, Zokta Gemara, you should know that really this is something that's b'machlekes shnuya. This is really a machlekes tanoim. It's the shita of Rab Shimon ben Gamliel, but the Tana Kama of the Brice of Matzah Skuti really does not agree with this. Just one thing that I think is kedai to mention before we go weiter, and that is, again, a lot of chatter amongst the Olam that if the Kutim did not keep the Torah Shebal Peh, they didn't adhere to the Messiah, why when it comes to Shechita was it different? Now, from our Gemara, you see that this was probably not the only case. It sounds like there's some category of things that are Achsuk, V'loy Achsuk B'dolay Ksiva, right? There's a sugya called Achsuk V'loy Achsuk B'dolay Ksiva. But as it relates to Shechita, it could be the Pshat is Pashat. And that is, we mentioned briefly in the introduction to the Masechta, that the Makor to Shechita in the Torah is a Pasuk in Parashas Re'eh. Ki yirchak mimcha amokim asher yivcha Hashem alokecha losim shmoy sham, v'zovachto mipkorcho mitzoyncha asher nosan Hashem l'cha kasher tzivisicha. The Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Yidden that in the event that you're going to want to eat from Bakar and Soin, you should shecht it the way I commanded you to shecht it. And the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Chav Chesamar Aleph, it's Rabbi Yehuda Anasi's member says, Kasher Tzivisicha, I don't know, I checked high and low, and I don't see anywhere in the Torah where it said Kasher Tzivisicha, Mikan Remez L'Torah Shabal Peh in the Torah Shabiksav. Kasher Tzivisicha is referring to an oral tradition. There must have been some sort of Messiah, and really what this Pasuk is referencing is the oral tradition. Very rare that you find the Pasuk in the Torah that's referencing the Torah Shabbat. Here you have a mitzvah, no less, where the mitzvah is basically do it the way I told you in the Torah Shabbat. But here's the point. You see, Shechita, although there's a Torah Shabbat Pedic component, but it's mefurish in the Torah that there was a Torah Shabbat. Kasher tzivisicha. So the Kutim knew that there had to be a Torah Shabbat Peh. They were forced into it. And believe it or not, their understanding of the Torah Shabbat Peh was the same as our understanding of the Torah Shabbat Peh. And like this, HaKol Yavim HaKamim Vashalom, maybe it's Emes, maybe it's even Pashit. Either way, we now turn our attention to the second part of today's daf, which by the way is going to go knee-deep into tomorrow's daf. So we're just going to make Haschola now. And that is the idea that a Mumar Eichel Neveil Slatei Yavim, as long as you're Baitik the Sakin, right? Mutter, he's allowed to shecht lechatchila. Why are we talking about this? Because this is the way Rav Ashi explained the Mishnah. Hakol shecht and hakol was coming to be marba a mumer oichel neveilois l'teyavain. When is he shecht lechatchila if you're baidik the sakin? If you weren't baidik the sakin, he can't shecht lechatchila. Stating that shechitasim sheira, as long as you'll be baidik the sakin after the fact. We mentioned yesterday that really the whole idea of a mummer shechting is also a chiddush. It's a big sugya. It's the sugya that's coming up right now. It's the sugya we're about to launch into. Why? Because, first of all, if this person is a mummer to eat nevelos, l'teyavin l'hachis, you would think that's a pretty good reason to disqualify him from being someone that's in the geschäft of selling shchutas and you needing to trust him that it's not an avela. So the whole idea is a chiddush. Not just that, you find this general sugya that a mummer sometimes is not treated like a yid. So if a mummer is not treated like a yid, that would also pose a problem. We also mentioned that within the world of mummer, there's nuance. There's a mummer l'davar echad, which is what a mummer oichel nevela is. L'teyavin is. There's also a concept of a mumer l'chala teira kula. Within the world of mumer, you find mumer l'teyavin versus mumer l'hachas. Mumer l'teyavin is a mumer only if he stands to benefit from it. Mumer l'hachas is just a bad guy. Again, we're talking about mumer oichel nevelos l'teyavin. We're clearly focusing on someone that is doing it for some sort of financial gain or for some taifa, some pleasure that he gets from it. Additionally, we mentioned that there's certain averos that take on a life of their own. Like someone that's a mumer l'avodah zarah, or someone that's a mumer l'chal Shabbos b'far hesia, which is the equivalent of being oved avodah zarah. The bottom line is, a lot of these sugyas are going to be the topic of the balance of today's daf and tomorrow's daf as well. Either way, zok to gemara gufa. Amar Rava, Rava said, why Rava? I thought it was Rav Ashi. Because again, Rav Ashi based his pshat in the Mishnah on a memra of Rava. So Rava is really the origin of this halacha. Yisrael mummer, oichel nevel salti yavin. If this is Yisrael, that's a mummer, oichel nevel salti yavin. So as far as we know, he keeps 612 mitzvahs. The one mitzvah he doesn't keep is he's an oichel nevel salti yavin. Again, if there's no benefit from him, he's for sure going to eat dafke, the best hashkach in the world. But to the extent that it benefits him, then he'll even eat nevelas. Now, what do you do with a person like this? Can he shecht? So Rava told us, you check the sakin, and you give it to him. And then, if he goes ahead and he shechts, it's going to be okay. Says more my time. But what's the reason? The reason is, because given the ikat teravi isura, being that this heter and iser, Rashi says, what does it mean this heter and iser? There's an animal. There's no heter and iser. It means this two ways for him to shecht it. He could shecht it either ba'ifin heter, or he could shecht it ba'ifin iser. Again, he has no benefit to do it in the iser way for the same price and the same amount of pleasure or lack thereof. He could do it in the heter way, so we're going to assume he's going to do it in the heter way. Again, if he's a mumma eichel nevelos lahachis, so what do you mean? He's incentivized to do it in the bad way. But being that he's l'teyov and he's not l'hachis, l'shavik keter v'achli yisur. The Gemara says, "Yachi ebazai, why do you have to be baidik the sakin? Kiloi badak nami. Even if you weren't baidik it." So we know this from yesterday's daf. The Gemara says, "No mitzvah l'tarach," because that involves even a little bit of tircha. This person is so lazy that even that will get in the way. This is not heterani surah. No, here I actually have to schwitz a little bit. Here I don't, and that's the way I would prefer to do it. Zok the Gemara. Amalei Rabbanon the Rava. So Rava said a chiddush. Right? This is for sure a chiddush. Without knowing anything about halacha, this is a chiddush. That a mumur oichel nevelos l'teyavin, as long as you're baidik the sakin, you could trust this guy. The guy eats nevela. He eats, that's what he ate for dinner last night. He ate nevela. But you trust him as a sheichet. It's a big chiddush, right? Rava probably needed a little bit of help. He probably needed a little bit of support. So the Rabbanan turned to Rava, and they told him, Tanya, the Messiah Elach, I'll bring you a raya from a braisa. This braisa, believe it or not, is again discussing laws of chametz. So, ironically, the first part of the daf ended up with matzah skuti, and here we're talking about chametz as well. So we know the chametz over all of our Pesach is something that's aser b'hana. Additionally, it's a machlokes tanoim whether chomet shavu olav pesach. That's asa ba'ana. Is it asa midai raisa or is it only asa midrabban? Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is that it's asa midai raisa. Rabbi Shimon's sheet is that it's only asa midrabban. That's the background information that we need. So zok de braisa chemtzin shel ovrei aveira achra pesach. The chomet that is in the possession of an ovrei aveira after pesach. So you have an ovrei aveira who has chomet shavu olav pesach. Mutter miyad. The halach is that if you want to eat it, you're allowed to eat it. In fact, right after Pesach, if you want his beer to make Avdala on, that in and of itself would be okay. Aye, what do you mean? This person's an Ovrei Aveira. He probably didn't sell his chametz or get rid of it. If that's the case, it's chametz shavur all of our Pesach, it should be yasser. The reason is, zok de braisa mipnei shehem machlifen. Because we assume that these people, even though they're Ovrei Aveira, but just to frivolously do Aveiras, like why would they? So probably what they did was they took the chametz that they had and they swapped it out with a guy. They told the guy, your chametz is not chametz shavur olav pesach. My chametz is chametz shavur olav pesach. So I'll give you my six-pack of Heineken, you give me your six-pack of Heineken, and we'll call it even. It makes sense for them to do that because why should they go ahead and do an aveira? So we trust that that's something that they would do. We trust that lo yishavik keter of achli surah ad kidei kach that we assume they're going to go ahead and be machlif. This is like a chiddush, right? But we assume they're going to do that, even though they're ivre avera. Because again, why would I go ahead and do it? So the Gemara says like this: before the rab, savrua the rabbanan that went to Rav and told him, "I have a right to you from this price." So we're of the opinion, Hamari Rabbi Yehuda, who is this price going according? It's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Damar holds chametz achra pesach day raisa. That chametz of all of our pesach is nisa day raisa. So, Victoria, what do you see in the Braisa? Mepneche machlifin, that we assume that they're going to be machlif. Alma, what do you see? Loi shavik heter v'achli sura. You see, loi shavik heter v'achli sura is something you can rely on, and you can rely on it even for an Issa de Raisa. Ah, it's a raya to you, Rava. What's Rava saying? Rava's saying that even though this person's a mumar echel meil salti oven, but I believe leishavik iter va'achli sura, and I'm going to trust him even when it comes to deraises such as the velas. So the Rabbanu told Rava, have a mufurish raya. You see from here, from the chometz of the ivri avera, that we assume leishavik iter va'achli sura, even for an issa deraisa of chometz of all of our pesach. But the Gemara says, how do you know it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda? How do you know we're dealing with an issa deraisa? Maybe it's going according to Rabbi Shimon. The amar chometz achar pesach the rabbanon is only an issa derabbanon. V'chimakilinon, and when are we makel b'derabbanon or b'deraisa loy makalinon? Maybe we only makel when it comes to the rabbanon, not the deraisa. It's true. You have a raya by an issa derabbanon that will say such a svar l'shavik keter v'achalisur. But when it comes to neveil, which is an issa deraisa mehechatesi, but the Gemara says the rabbanon said no. But the havi nami Rabbi Shimon zol zayin. That the price is going according to Reb Shimon. I mean, I can't disprove the fact that the price might be Reb Shimon, right? But miktoni sha'ani oimer hechlifu. Did the price say sha'ani oimer hechlifu mipnei shemachlifin ktoni? What it said was mipnei shemachlifin. You know what the difference is? Devade machlifin. Sha'ani oimer is a lashon that you find in different mishnayos and braises, which means just in mishnah and braisa grammar that could be this is what happened. And I'll be mekel and I'll assume that, you know what, this is probably what happened. Right, sha'ani yoimer, the heter fell into the heter and the issa fell into the issa, right? That's an idea that you find just as one dugma. Sha'ani yoimer always means, I don't know for sure this way, maybe it happened. But when you say mipnei shei machlifin, then it sounds already like it's a vaday. I'm assuming for sure this is what took place. So says the Gemara, if what we're saying is that we have an umdun demuchach, not sha'ani yoimer, maybe and I'll be mekel, but mipnei shei machlifin, that's for sure what happened. Well, if that's the case, you know what you see from here? That even by, according to you, in Issa derabbanan, right? Because you want the price to go according to Reb Shimon, you find this idea that I assume for sure that the person will be so nizer in this idea of lo yishavik heter v'achal isura. So if it's true by derabbanan, certainly it's going to be true by deraisa. In other words, if you want to tell me it's going according to Reb Shimon, you're not making it worse, you're making it better. Because now not only do I have a mamatzinu, now I actually have a kal v'chaymer. Uma b'derabbanan, mamach b'derabbanan, lo yishavik heter v'achal isura, b'deraisa l'kol shkein. In other words, m'man of shach derabbanan told Rava, we have a raya. You're saying this big chiddush that a mumma oichel meil salti oven is a lad of shech, why? Because lo yishavik unless there's some incentive, so just be bait. Exactly, it's the only incentive we can come up with. Averaya, chemsin shal every avera, achra pesach, mutter miyad, mipnei, vadai, hin machlifin, memonavshach. Whether you hold that the bride's going to Rabbi Yehuda, that holds chomach avral of a pesach is asim midei raisa, or you hold it's going to Rabbi Shimon, that chomach avral of a pesach is asid rabbanon, you see for sure that there's a svara of sha'ani yomer. You see it by the deraises. Could be you see it only by deraises. Could be you see it even by the rabbanon and kal v'chomer by deraises. But for sure, in your nenu, you see it by deraises. So if you see when it comes to Yisur deraisa, there's a svara for sure of leishavik heter v'achal isura. If it's true for chomach avol v'pesach, it's going to be true for Nevela as well. So the Rabbanan had a geshmak araya, a tanyat kavase to Rava from a brisa. Zok Gemara, lema mesayale. Maybe there's another raya, a raya from a teisefta right here in the beginning of Masechta Schulam. The teisefta sounds a little bit like our Mishnah. Hakol sheichtin. Now when we learned the Mishnah, we said hakol lasu yemai. The teisefta is mefurish. Va'afilu kuti, abay v'rava. Va'afilu oral, even an oral. Va'afilu yisrael mummer, right? Could be that's Rav Ashi. I don't know. Is that a mumma oichel neveil sati oven? We'll see. But the bottom line is, I have a mefurish teisefta that says hakol shoichten afilu kuti, afilu oral, afilu yisrael mummer. So the raya is going to be from afilu yisrael mummer, obviously, right? But before we get to that, the Gemara has to build up, because again, if afilu yisrael mummer can mean anything, we said there's so many different possibilities and variables of how you can teach the word yisrael mummer. So we have to build up a little bit before we get to our point. Says the Gemara, hi oral heichidam. When we say an oral is a Ladashek, what kind of oral do we mean? If it's talking about where someone is an oral machmas oynes, his brothers died machmas mila, as a result in halacha he's not allowed to get a bris mila, and that's what we're saying, this person is a ladashek. Right? It's poshit that he's a ladashek. Why shouldn't he be able to shech? I mean, there's a sugya of, you know, kachim, carbon pesach, and oral is not allowed to eat from. Good, so I can hear that's a sugya, that's perik oral, right? Truma, there are places where there's a discussion, but when it comes to Shechita, if he's a Yid, which he clearly is, so what would be the Shailish? Ela Pshita, you have to say. It's Pasha, meaning not only could you say, but it's obvious that this is the way it is. Mumar La'Reilos, we're talking about someone that's not just an Aro, because Meso Echel Machmas Mila, but he's a Mumar La'Reilos. This person does not want to do Bris Mila. Atkedei Kach. He's a Mumar La'Reilos. And still, this is shocking, right? Hakol Shoichtin Afilu Aro, even a Mumar La'Reilos, could be it's Ladover Echel, but he's a Mumar La'Reilos, he's allowed to Shech, the Kosovar must be, the Tana of the Tesef is of the opinion, Mumal Dover Echel, Yavi Mumal Chalatayr Gula. So even though he's not Nizir and Brismila, but maybe when it comes to Shechita, he would be Nizir. But the Gemara says, Eim Asefa, now that we established that when we say an Oroz Alad Shech, it's referring to a Mumar La'Relos, and it's based on the fact that Mumal Dover Echel is not a Mumal Chalatayr Gula. So how do we understand the part of the Bryce that says Mefurish Vafilu Yisrael Mumar? Hay Mumar Hechidami, what's that Mumar referring to? Is it referring to a Mumar L'davar Echad? You already said that in Oral. You already addressed a Mumar L'davar Echad. And by the way, you even addressed a very extreme case, right? You tested the system at its limit. And you're telling me even a Mumar L'arelos is a Lad HaShach. So what then must be going on? El Alav, it must be something that's a bigger chiddush than Mumar L'arelos. It can't just be Mumar L'davar Echad because you maxed out as far as Mumar L'davar Echad goes. Elamai, it must be with a person's a Mumar, but as aggressor in Mumar, Mumar L'arelos. You know what that must be? Elam, Mumar L'arelos. That's a bigger chiddush because we're handling the Vela and he's a Mumar for this thing. Ukid the Rava. And if that's the case, a right to Rava. You have a Mufurish at Tosefta that you see a Mumar L'nevela, albeit L'teyavin, and albeit when you bite the Tesakin, then it would be okay, but the Gemara says lie. Lie l'meim alucha, mumar l'isa davar lie. I'll tell you if someone's a mumar l'isa davar, it's not okay. My time, and what's the reason? Because keeping the dashbe keteira damida. If this is an Indian that he's dashbe, if he drezach in nevela, if he's not repulsed when it comes to nevela, you're not trusting him when it comes to the laws of shchita. Elo. Okay, so then what is the mumar of the taisefta? A mumar l'davar echad, you addressed that already. It has to be more than a mumar l'arelos. It is a mumar l'arelos. It's a mumar l'davar echad, but that one davar echad is even worse than the mumar l'arelos. Elo mumar l'avoydes kechavim. He's a Mumar l'avodas zarah ukid Rav Anan, and it's going according to Rav Anan. Amar Rav Anan, Amar Shmuel, Yisrael mumar l'avodas kaychavim. Even though you would have thought, no way, Jose, mumar lechol mishchitasoy, not mumar, mutar lechol mishchitasoy. You're allowed to eat from his shchita, and that's the extra chiddush. So la'olam, if somebody is a mumar, oichol neveilois, even the teyavin, even if you bite the sack and the kubi, it's not going to be okay. There's no lema misayele to Rava. The Brisa says mefurish a mumar, yeah. And you can't tell me, it's just coming to tell me a mumar l'davar echad, because I know that already from Aral. It's talking about something more than Aral, but less than mumar oichol neveilos l'teyavay. What it's referring to, it's referring to someone that's a mumar l'avodah zarah. You would have thought a mumar l'avodah zarah for sure should not be okay, because let's be honest, l'avodah zarah is not one thing. L'avodah zarah is the hanochas even apina of Yiddishkeit. That's the tzach hadash b'achav of our emunah. That's when someone's Eved Avodah Zarah, he's violating not just one of the Ten Commandments, but one of the two that we heard with that clarkite from the Ebishta. So you would have thought that's worse. Kamash Mulan, it's not worse. And you know who said it? Rav Anan said it in the name of Shmuel. Now, is that somebody everybody agrees with? Is that a little bit controversial? Yes. How do you know? It's tomorrow's daf. So Beis Hashem, tomorrow we'll get into this idea that Rav Anan said in the name of Shmuel that a mumar l'avodah zarah is someone whose shchita you can trust, but in the interim, you can always be doicha, that's what the Brice is referring to, and if that's the case, there is no raya to Rav. So what was the second part of the daf? Second part of the daf was the idea that a mumar oichol neveilos l'teyavin, according to Rava, is allowed to shecht, unbelievable chiddush, as long as you're boidik the sakin, it's based on an idea of loishavik heteir v'achal isura, which we saw has a makar already in a brais of chemtsim shal evre aveira achra pesach mutir miyad mepnei shehei machlifin, and regardless if you learn the brais, leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, is for sure araya, so Rava's chiddush, as big as it is, at the same time has a makar. Why are we talking about Rav's Chiddush? I mean, obviously it's negeya the laws of Chulin, but why now? Because Rav Ashi had learned that was really what the first line of the Masechta meant. Hakol Sheichten u'shchitasin k'sheira was discussing this mumar oichol neveilois l'teyavain exhale. So as it relates to Raid, as promised. So the Masechta began with a kasha. Hakol shoichtin lechatchila ushchitasun ksheira dieved. What's going on over here? Hakol's coming to be marba something, and whatever it's coming to be marba, there seems to be a contradiction in mashmois. Whether that person is allowed a shech lechatchila, or whether that person is only allowed a shech lechatchila. So the Gemara said, Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rava d'Rav Ashi. Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rava wanted Amalei Ram. He turned to the great Rav Ashi, and he told Rav Ashi that, I don't hear the kasha. V'chol hakol lechatchila. When every single time it says the word hakol, is it lechatchila? It says hakol memirim. It says hakol marichin v'nerochin. And they had a whole exchange. It also says hakol chayovim besukah, hakol chayovim betzitzis. It says hakol soimchin. And after an imminent change of back and forth between Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rava and Rav Ashi, finally Rav Ashi turned to Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rava and he told him, let me explain to you what's going on over here. Anosh chitosan ksheira kashali. The reason I felt that Hakol Shoichtin in our Mishnah means lechatchila, despite the fact that you find elsewhere that it could mean b'di'eved, is because I was bothered that if Hakol Shoichtin means b'di'eved and Shchitas and Ksheira also means b'di'eved, so then why does the Mishnah have to repeat itself and say that whoever this Hakol is could shecht b'di'eved? Oh, and by the way, they could shecht b'di'eved. It makes more sense that the Tana of the Mishnah is telling me that this person that's a rabbi from Hakol Kachach Lechatchila, and also sometimes only b'di'evet, and the avoda then is to try to figure out when lechatchila and when b'di'evet. But Rav Ashi told Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rava, let me explain to you where I was coming from. Anosh chitasin ksheira kashali. What was bothering me was the words chitasin ksheira, and that's why I asked the question that I asked. We mentioned that Tosfos on Daf Beis Amid Beis makes a very subtle but profound diak in the Gemara. After Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rava gives Rav Ashi a little bit of a run for his money as it relates to this kasha, Rav Ashi says, let me explain to you what my kasha was. Rav Tosfos, where was Rav Ashi's kasha? The Gemara didn't start with Omer Rav Ashi, Hakol Shoichtin, Lechatchilu Shchitasin Ksheira, B'di'evet. Rather, it started Hakol Shoichtin, Lechatchilu Shchitasin Ksheira, B'di'evet, Stama. Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rava heard this kasha, he turned to Rav Ashi, and they had a shak levataria. So what does Rav Ashi mean when he says, Anosh chitosin ksheira kashali? Rav Ashi, you're taking ownership of this kasha? You're becoming balabas of this kasha? It's not your kasha. This is not your kasha. You're defending the kasha. But what did Rav Ashi mean when he sent Anosh chitosin ksheira kashali? Tosfos says, Mashma sh'Rav Ashi hiksha oisa kushya. It sounds like from the dikto kaloshen of Rav Ashi, Anosh chitosin ksheira kashali, the Rav Ashi was the one that asked the kasha. Even though when we read the Gemara in real time, it didn't sound that way. It says, Tosfos umikan raya, from here there's a raya, sh'Rav Ashi sidra gemara. That Rav Ashi is the one that was masada the Gemara. And it's for that reason it makes sense for Rav Ashi to take ownership of this kasha. Ano shchitasim ksheira kashali, because being that Rav Ashi is the masada the Gemara, either Rav Ashi is the one asking the question, or at the very least, Rav Ashi is the one who's presenting this question in the Siddur of the Gemara, but Rav Ashi becomes balabas, he becomes the manda amar of this kasha, because he's the author of the kasha, or at the very least, the presenter of the kasha. Hence, it makes sense that even though it was a stam of the Gemara, it should be attributed to Rav Ashi, and that's why Mamiduyik, where Rav Ashi said, Ano shchitasin ksheira kasha. It's interesting. This identical signon that you find right here in Chulin Daf Beis Amid Beis, you find in another Gemara. This Gemara is a Masechtes Ksubis Daf Zayin Amid Aleph. So again, this is a sugi that's learned in yeshivas. It's discussing the very first halacha of Masechtes Ksubis, which is Besulin Nisas L'Yoyim HaRevi. And the Gemara had a shayla, whether or not it's mutter for a chasen to be boil a bila rishayna with a besula on Shabbos or not. The reason not is because when the dam besulim happened through that bila rishayna, there's going to be a chabura and mich per chaver. This is something that a person is not allowed to do on Shabbos. And this is what's going on. So I'm just going to pick up one excerpt of the Gemara. Rav Zvid shor lemivu betchila b'Shabbos. Rav Zvid said that it's mutter to do a bila rishayna on Shabbos. Ikadamri, some say Rav Zvid gufei bal betchila b'Shabbos. Rav Zvid himself once got married and the bila rishayna was on Shabbos. Rav Yehuda shor lemivu betchila b'yontif. He allowed a bila rishayna to happen on Yontif. Not Shabbos, Yontif. Oh my, Rapapi mishmei de Rava. So Rapapi is saying the name of Rava. Loi teima b'yontif deshori ha b'Shabbos asim. When The Gemara says Rav Yehuda was mater, a bila rishayin on Yontif. Don't think he's coming to be chaylik on Rav Zvid. He holds that it's only mutter on Yontif, but not on Shabbos. Shabbos is always more chomer than Yontif. Because the oilam Rav Yehuda would hold its mutter on Shabbos as well. Aye, so why did it say in the Gemara Rav Yehuda shari lemivel betchila beYontif umaisa shayir kachayir? Because it was a real story. Rav Yehuda shari lemivel. He gave a hat, and the story happened to have been Yontif. But if the story would have been Shabbos, he would have issued the same exact heter. Who said this? Rav Papi in the name of Rav. Rav Papa Mishmei de Rav Amar. Rav Papa said in the name of Rav. B'yontif Shari. No. Rav Yehuda was matur on Yontif. B'Shabbos Aser. But on Shabbos, it's going to be Aser. So Machloik is Rav Papi and Rav Papa. Whether or not, when Rav Yehuda was matur, Bilu Rishon on Yontif, was it only on Yontif, was it Shabbos as well? Rav Papi said, Loi Teme B'yontif Shari Avlo B'Shabbos Aser. Duha Dina Filo B'Shabbos Nami Shari Mai Shari Kachoyo. Rav Papa said, no. B'yontif Shari Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, So Rav Papi turns to Rav Papa and he tells him, "My daitech, why would you hold that there's a chiluk between Yontif and Shabbos? I assume you would hold mitoich shehutra chabura litzayrich hutra nami shaloi litzayrich. Because what's the problem with a bila rishayna and there's a chabura on Yontif? You're allowed to make a chabura litzayrich aichol nefesh. We know Bisil has a shita mitoich shehutra malacha litzayrich aichol nefesh hutra nami shaloi litzayrich aichol nefesh. So chabura." Shalei letzarech eichol nefesh p'yantif will be mutter, but on Shabbos where there's never a time that you're allowed to make a chabur and there's no sugya mitaych, therefore it's going to be aser. So Rav Papi told Rav Papa, it's probably what you hold. Well, olam yato ebazoi mutter lasus mugmer b'yantif. It should be mutter to make mugmer yantif. So this is old school. Once upon a time, the olam didn't reichen on yantif. They used to make mugmer on yantif, right? These were real besamim. This is the real deal. Either way, he said it should be mutter to make mugmer on Yontif, the mitoich shehutra havara letzayrich, hutra nami shalei letzayrich. You have the same cheshbon of mitoich. What's the problem with making mugmer? The problem is it's havara. Havara is mutter letzayrich eichel nefesh. Beisil holds mitoich shehutra malach letzayrich, hutra nami shalei letzayrich. Amaleitz Rav Papa told Rav Papi, that's your kasha. You're saying that if you say mitoich by a beer, that means you should say mitoich when it comes to mugmer. Alech amakra, it's regarding you. It says the following pasuk, and this is one of the foundational principles in Hilchas Yontif. Definitely when you discuss the sugyas of smoking and showering on Yontif. Not for now. But either way, he told them the epic words. It says, Acha sheyochel l'chol nefesh, dover ashov l'chol nefesh. Right, trivia question. Where does it say that? It's not in Bey, it's not in Shabbos, it's in Ksubas Dav Zayin. But either way, it has to be a dover ashov l'chol nefesh. And a bia rishayna is a dover ashov l'chol nefesh, but mugmer is not a dover ashov l'chol nefesh. So Rav Papa told Rav Papi, I understand what you're asking. I hold it's only mutter on Yontif, not on Shabbos, because it's all predicated on what? It's predicated on mitoich. Are you going to tell me if you say mitoich for a bila rishayna, you know, you should say mitoich with regards to mugmer. Alecha amakra has to be dover ashov l'chol nefesh. Can't compare smoking to taking a shower, right? That would be a contemporary way of talking about this. But the bottom line is alecha amakra. A bila rishayin is a dover ashov l'chol nefesh. You say mitoich, as opposed to when it comes to mugmer, that's not a dover ashov l'chol nefesh. Zok de gemara. You ready? Amalei Rav Acha brei de Rava de Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha brei de Rava turns to Rav Ashi. He says elam yato imazoi. If that's the case, nizdam in tzvi b'yontif, if somebody finds a hesh, a tzvi on yontif, hoyo ve'in a shavu l'chol nefesh, being that either tzvi is not shavu l'chol nefesh, achi nami da'asa l'mishchete, maybe you shouldn't be allowed to shecht it. Meaning, you're telling me a new chiddush, that the only time you say that something's called eichel nefesh is if it's shovel eichel nefesh. So maybe you shouldn't be allowed to shecht a hersh. Amaleis, Rav Ashi turns to Rav Achabrei, the Rav, he told him, Ana, dover hatzoyrech l'chol nefesh ka'amina. What I meant to say was, a dover that's tzoyrech l'chol nefesh, and tzvi tzorech l'chol nefesh, and tzvi is a shovel eichel nefesh. We don't need the sugi right now. This is not what we're learning. Rav Achabrei de Rava hears this whole schmooze between Rav Papi and Rav Papa, and he turns to Rav Ashi and he asks him a good kasha. He says, El miyato, ibazoi, how do you reconcile tzvi? So Rav Ashi says, Ano dava atzor l'chol nefesh komino. What I meant to say was, dava. What I meant to say, Rashi didn't say one word. We just went through the entire Gemara, more than we had to. He didn't say, for a reason, he didn't say one word, did Rav Ashi. What does he mean when he said, "Ana dover atzoyrich l'chol nefesh k'amina"? The teretz is, even though Tosfos doesn't speak it out in Ksuvas Dav Zayin, I'm a bedaf it sushtelin. It's a Tosfos in Chulin, Dav Beis Amid Beis. It's the same exact Tosfos. And that is umikan raya Rav Ashi sidra gemara, and that's why just like Rav Ashi said chulin daf beis anosh chitos and ksheira kashli over here in Ksubas daf zayin, he said anod dover atzoyrus l'chol nefesh kamini, even though he's not the one that said it. The truth is, We don't have time for this right now. But if you take a look at Ksubas Daf Samech Tes, in a sugya with regards to Amona Nizoinus Minechse Yesoimim, in the event that she's trying to be Teiveya from the Chasam Meshubadim. And if you take a look in Nida Daf Yudalit, that's a sugya in Ksamim, you're going to find the same exact signon. So at least four places where this repeats itself. We are in the middle of a sugya, someone says something to Rav Ashi, right? He says, let me explain to you what I meant. Even though Rav Ashi didn't say one word. Oh, but the Teretz says, it's this Toysus Chulun Daf Beis Amid Beis Mikan Raya, Shin Rav Ashi Sidr Hagamar. If you take a look on this Tosfos, Rabbi Kiveger and Gilyon Ashas, Tzeichen Su, Gemara, in Mesechtes Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Vava Med Aleph, and Rashi on that Gemara. The Gemara over there says, Rebbe v'Rab Nosson, Soif Mishnah. Rav Ashi v'Ravina, Soif Hoira. Rav Ashi and Ravina were Soif Hoira. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says Soif Hoira, Soif Kol Amoira. They were the end of all the Amoira. Ad Yemeim, Zok Tehelig Rashi, Loi Hoisna Gemara Ala Seder. The Gemara was not written Ala Seder. Elo, Kisho Hoisna Shelo Nishelas Betama Mishna Bebeis HaMedrish, Oy Shelo Al Maisa Ma'ura Bedin Mamina Yisra Veheter, Kol Echad Vechad, Oy Mertayim Oy. Everybody would say whatever he wanted to say. For Rav Ashi, for Ravina, Sidru Shmoy Samayram Shalufneim. For Kovu Al Seder HaMesechta is Kol Echad Vechad Eitzel HaMishna Ruyav Ashnuyla. The Hikshu Kushyoy Sheyesh Lahashiv Upei Rukim Sheruyim Letare Tzeim Vamiram Sheyman. For Kovu Akol b'Gemara, kagoyin esavei, meisavei, v'remini, yibayaluhu, v'atirutzim shaleim mashen shayru oisam shalifneim, v'oisa sha'amru v'chulu v'chulu, and this is, says Rashi, it's a very long Rashi, what the Gemara means when it says that Ravina and Rav Ashi were soifeira. So Rav Kiveger, this Rashi right here is matim with this tesvis in Chulin Daf Beis Amid Beis, and that is that Rav Ashi, and in the Gemara you see Rav Ashi together with Ravina, they were the ones that were Masada the Gemara. The truth is, this is an Indian that I believe is kedai to be marchiv on. If for no reason other than Baruch Hashem, we do what we do, and that is, we learn Talmud Bavli, day in, day out, rain, snow, or shine. And we have a Tosfos tucked away in the beginning of Masechta Schulin that tells us who the author of the Talmud Bavli is. And I think it's kedai to delve in a little bit. But before we do that, we have to introduce a person that I believe is one of the most underrated Gaonim of the late 19th century and the early 20th century, and that is Hagoyin HaGadol, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Rabinowitz, or more popularly known as Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi, or even sometimes simply as Halevi. So who exactly was Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi? Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi was born in the 1840s in Lita. He was a child prodigy. At the age of 13, he had enrolled in the Volozhiny Yeshiva, and he became a Talmud Muvik of the Beis Halevi, who was Rosh Yeshiva, or one of the Rosh Yeshivas, in Volozhiny at the time. As a matter of fact, not only did he become a Talmud Muvik of the Beis Halevi, but he became a Yedid Nefesh, v'nafshoy k'shuroy b'nafshoy ad yoy moysoy, with the Beis Halevi's famous son, Hagoyin HaGadol, Reb Chaim Halevi Soloveitchik. He became best friends with Reb Chaim. The Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi was an incredible, incredible guy. His bekiyas was almost surreal. Not just that, his way of learning, his mahalach and critical thinking was very much like that of his Grace Rebbe, the Beis Halevi, and his chavrusa, and his chaver, Reb Chaim. So this was a yid who had an incredible, incredible bekiyas. And in addition to the fact that he had an incredible bekiyas, he also was a big London in the very briska, the volozhina, the soloveitchik, in the very, very litvisha sense. Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi was also very street smart. He was very politically astute, and there was a feeling amongst the Gaonim that being that he was blessed with this Kishrin, he had to use it for the Tayelis of Klal Yisrael. In fact, if you're familiar with a little bit of the Jewish history of Litta, and specifically of the Volozhin Yeshiva. I discussed this briefly this morning with Davi Safir. So Volozhin, of course, had a Rosh Yeshiva, and sometimes more than one Rosh Yeshiva, but there was also a position that was known as Gabbai. So Gabbai today is probably what you would refer to as the president of the Yeshiva. So it was understood that the Yeshiva was going to operate with Rosh Yeshivas, but also had to be someone that was achroi to make the big decisions, and that person had to be a little bit more worldly, and someone that was more sensitive to the political ramifications of what a yeshiva is going to do or what a yeshiva is not going to do. The Gabbai of the Volozhin Yeshiva for the last 25 years of its existence was Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi, which, by the way, speaks volumes of who he was and how he was respected in the Litvish world, and also with his relationship with Reb Chaim, because Reb Chaim, of course, was one of the Rosh Yeshivas of Volozhin. But the bottom line is, this was a Yid who was a great, great Goyen, but he was also someone that had a certain instinct when it came to understanding worldliness and politics that transcended him and put him into a very, very unique category. Now, we all know that the second half of the 19th century was a very, very dangerous time for the Jews. If not physically, certainly spiritually. That was the height of the Haskalah, and the whole world of looking at the Torah in a different way was plowing through all parts of Europe, and it had even penetrated the Olam HaYeshivas. One of the big sakonis that was unique to the Olam HaYeshivas is that there were a few maskilim, whose names don't have to be mentioned, that had written history works. And they started questioning what Yidden always took for granted. They had this new scientific method and approach to going about history. And just because you heard something from your father, heard something from his father, doesn't necessarily mean that we have to take it at face value. And they started writing newsletters, which eventually became multi-volume historical works. And these works started making their ways into the Shenstein, than the best the yeshivas. And there was a big feeling that even though we tried to ignore, but at the same time, this was too powerful and something had to be done. There had to be some counter movement, because if there's not going to be a counter movement, you know, who knows what kind of churban is going to take place. Just to appreciate this a little bit better, one of the ideas that were being very much undermined in these Svarim Chitzoinim was the origin of the Talmud and exactly how things came about. And it was considered to be very, very dangerous to people that dedicated their lives to studying the Talmud. Regardless, a group of Rabbanim got together and they decided that we have to be Mimana, one of our Chevra, one of our people, Einif and Inzer. By the way, those works were written by former yeshiva guys as well. But right now, we need one of our chevra to go, and he's going to have to write a work that's going to counter everything that's being done. And they decided that the person that's qualified to do this is none other than our hero, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi. He had the credentials from a Bekiyas perspective. He had the credentials from an Oikaharim, from a Lamdim perspective. And he also he was very astute. And as a result, they felt he's the one that should go ahead and do it. As a matter of fact, in the letters from Reb Chaim Moizer, there's a letter where Reb Chaim Moizer is so excited when he hears that Reb Yitzchak Isaac Halevi undertook this work, and he's going to go and he's going to put something out where he's going to show the world the truth and he's going to give credibility. Unfortunately, we've come to this point to our Messiah and present the facts the way that they really happened. Either way, Rabbi Isaac Halevi, he took the calling of the Gedolei Yisrael and he embarked upon this project. And this project became his magnum opus. If you know, you know. It's what's known today as a six-volume work. It's called the Deiros HaRishonim. The Deiros HaRishonim was written by Yitzchak Isaac Halevi, and the purpose of the Deiros HaRishonim was to go, and it was to counter. As a matter of fact, if you go through Deiros HaRishonim, over the years I've gone through several segments of it, it's very, very unique. First of all, it's unique because it's in large part a polemic. He quotes all the maskilim, svarim that you're not supposed to learn. And he quotes them chapter and verse. He had to. It was a rasha. He had to do what he had to do. And as a result, a big chunk of Deiros HaRishonim is literally quoting all these different svarim. Additionally, it's a history work. So you talk about classic history works, Derus HaRishonim comes up in every single intelligent conversation. But on top of that, it's also a real sefer. Because as we're about to see, he made incredible pilpulim. And he answered kashas. And he brought rayas. So you have to make Berachas HaTorah before you learn Derus HaRishonim. Maybe not for the Sfarim Chitzonim component. And maybe not for the Jewish history component. Ask your local rabbi. But there's a lot of pilpul. There's a lot of Torah. There's a lot of raid going on in these Sfarim. And it's an incredible, incredible work. It was authored by this great, great Goyen, who really, if you think about it, was Moisa Nefesh to dedicate years of his life to do this, and he did it literally, l'hachzer atar l'yoshno, to make sure that the Olam HaYeshivas would realize and they would understand that really their Messiah was the proper Messiah. Now it's interesting, if you go through Derus HaRishonim, so Rabbi Isaac HaLevi was going up against very formidable opponents, right? The Chevra, again, who we haven't named, who wrote books, were very intelligent people. But at the same time, Rabbi Isaac HaLevi had an unfair advantage. And you see it in 1 second. And that is, he was a much bigger Talmud Chacham than that. It wasn't even close. So his level of Talmud Chacham is so gagal gag. You know how we get excited when we speak out some of the Rav Reuven Margolis pieces? It's that level. And then merge that with Rav Chaim HaLevi Soloveitchik type of lumdus. So the brilliance of Derus HaRishonim, if you know where to look, is on a different planet. And that was, as far as we're concerned, looking at this as somewhat non-objective observers, it gave him a tremendous, tremendous unfair advantage. But either way, that's what the Derus HaRishonim is. And that's the introduction. So believe it or not, a big chunk of Derus HaRishonim deals with who wrote the Gemara. Now you're going to say, how could that have been a debate of who wrote the Gemara? How could there be a debate? We quoted a Tosfos in Chulin Daf Beis, a Rashi in Bava Metzia Peivav. By the way, the Rambam in his Hakdamah Tiyat Chazaka, and Rav Shvir Goyen in his famous Igeres, say exactly what Rashi and Tosfos both say, and that is that who was Masada the Gemara, who was Rav Ashi. But at the end of the day, in terms of the Chazal, it's one Gemara. It's a Gemara Masechtas Bava Metzia Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph. And even that Gemara is a very vague Gemara. The Gemara says, Ravina and Rav Ashi, Soif Hoira. What does Soif Hoira even mean? It means they wrote the Gemara? It doesn't say they wrote the Gemara. It says they were Soif Hoira. So Rashi says what it means. But we're dealing with people that weren't taking what Rashi said as Torah Misinai. And as a result, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac HaLevi in his Avodas HaKodesh, where he, believe it or not, has to defend this, so he needed to somehow make the argument, again, using the scientific approach, that Rav Ashi wrote the Gemara. Because that one blurb in the Gemara, Bava Metzia Pei Vav Amud Aleph, wasn't enough for these maskilim. And the fact that Rashi and Tosfos said it, being that it's coming from that one Gemara as well, they didn't feel necessarily held at the level of credibility. And therefore, even though Rabbi Isaac HaLevi said it's pashut that Hamafursim Einu Tzarech Raya, and if the Rambam writes it in his Akdama, and Rav Shira Goyen writes it in his Igeres, and it's a Rashi and it's a Tosfos, that this is the way you have to learn the Gemara, Rav Ashi, Ravina, Soif Hoira, it's the Teresh of Apeh, of the Teresh of Apeh. So it's poshut that this is what it means. But at the same time, he was sort of forced to go ahead and try to come up with some scientific proof from the Gemara, Mineu Be, that Rav Ashi is the one, that wrote the Talmud Bavli. So if you have access to the Derus HaRishonim, this is in Chelike, it's starting from page 562. You just turn page after page after page. Rabbi Isaac HaLevi made an incredible observation. An observation that repeats itself over and over and over again, that it's literally EF Shalafartan. Just going to start with one Gemara, and then we'll get the gist of it. This is the Gemara Masechtas Kedushin Daf Vav. The Gemara this says as follows. Pshita, it's Pashin, Nasan Lo Gita. If a man would go over to his wife, give her a get, and say, Hare at bas chayrin. You're now a free woman, right? Sounds like she needs a get. Lo yomar klum. It's nothing. Because Hare at bas chayrin is not a lashon of gerushin. What's the lashon of gerushin? If you have learned Masechtas Get, then Hare at muteres l'chalot. If somebody would go with his shifcha and say, Hare at muteres l'chalot, and you would say, Hare at muteres l'chalot, lo yomar klum. Because what's the lashon of shichur? Hare at bas chayrin. Amalole ishtoi. What would be if somebody went over to his wife and said, Hare at la'atzmich? You are to yourself, ma'u. Mi amrinan, do we say, l'melacha karmala? That what he meant was, Hare at la'atzmich, that now your paycheck goes to me, moving forward, your paycheck you can keep for yourself. Or maybe, means you're not just your paycheck, but it means you're 100% freed, you're severed, you're not going to be my wife anymore. This is the Gemara Zibaya. Says the Gemara, Amalei Ravina le Rav Ashi. So Ravina turned to Rav Ashi and he said, Toshma, I'll bring you a raya. Tanya went into the brisa, gufa shel get, v'chulu v'chulu, and that was his raya. Said Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac HaLevi, why is it that Ravina said his teretz to Rav Ashi? Why don't you just say his teretz? The Gemara should say, Amar Ravina, I have a teretz, Toshma. Doesn't say Ravina just said a teretz. Ravina went and he said his teretz to Rav Ashi. Now, Bishloim had Rav Ashi said something previously in the sugya that would explain why Ravina is talking to Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi had said something, or if Rav Ashi would respond to Ravina and he would say something after the fact, that's why we're bringing Rav Ashi, we're looping Rav Ashi into this conversation because he's going to contribute. Rav Ashi didn't contribute one thing in that Gemara in Kedushin Davav. There was an Ibaya, Mita Toshma, Ravina is the one that said the Toshma. There's just one Knech, Omale Ravina le Rav Ashi, that you want to know who Ravina told this Toshma to Rav Ashi. And then Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac HaLevi said that this anomaly, where you have an Amayra who's going to say a Teretz to Akasha and a Sugya, and rather than just say it, he's going to address it to Rav Ashi, despite the fact that Rav Ashi wasn't mentioned earlier or isn't going to be mentioned later, is something that you find in sugyas, if you know how to look, over and over and over and over again. He quoted Yuma Daf Lamed Beis, Menachis Daf Chaf Aleph, Shfuas Daf Lamed Vav, Shabbos Daf Chaf Ches, Bava Basra Daf Pei Gimel. He quoted Bava Basra Daf Kuf Mem Ches, he quoted Bava Metzia Daf Tzadik Vav, Yuma Daf Mem Ches, Becheres Daf Nun Hei, Shabbos Daf Kuf Tes, Menachis Daf Lamed Aleph, Menachis Daf Nun Beis, Kedushin Daf Chaf Aleph, Sukkah Daf Mem Aleph, Bava Kama Daf Tzadik, Yuma Daf Chaf Hei. Over and over and over and over and over again. Where there's a kasha, an amayra, it's always a different amayra, by the way. And an amayra, whoever that, it's Rabbi Yirmiya, it's Rava Mi Barnish, it's Mar Bar Ameymar, Rav Acha Saba, you just go through these gemaras. It's always a different amayra. Every single one is somebody else. And instead of just saying the teretz, he says it to Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi's whole contribution to the sugi is that he's the one, he was the recipient. He is the one that this teretz was told to. And he said it has no havana. What's the pshat? He said, but it's poshit. Because if you know how to learn gemara, if you're not a historian, but you're someone that actually went through every single Gemara, you will know this. That Rav Ashi has a very unique role in the Gemara, and that is he was the Masadr of the Talmud Bavli. So when Terutzim were being said, they weren't just being said, they were being told to Rav Ashi. And the reason they were being told to Rav Ashi is because Rav Ashi had this very, very unique role of being Masadr of the Gemara, and being that he had this unique role being Masadr of the Gemara, so he's collecting Terutzim. And that's why you have all these different Fashid and Amirom going out and telling things to Rav Ashi that you're not telling to anybody else. In other words, we have a Tosfos based on a Gemara in Chulin Daf Beis Amud Beis, which we showed is a Gemara in Ksubas Daf Zayin, which we said is also a Gemara in Ksubas Daf Samech Tes, also a Gemara in Nida Daf Yudal, where Rav Ashi didn't say a word, and then at the end of the sugya, Rav Ashi for everyone said, this is what I meant to say. Hey, it's four rayas. Murder. Four rayas, al pi arba, edom, yakum, davar. There's no question in the world. But Rabbi Yitzchak HaLevi said, I'm going to double down on this Tosfos. I'm going to show you how many times where even though you don't have that very unique punchline where Rav Ashi says, this is what I meant to say, but at the same time, the Amiram are talking to Rav Ashi. And being that they're talking to Rav Ashi, it means Rav Ashi plays a very unique role over here. What's this new unique role that Rav Ashi is playing? The Teretz is, he's the Masada of the Gemara. It's not one line in a Gemara in Bava Metzia that pay Vav that the Maskel could be Mefak Vigan. This is the whole time of Vavli. It screams it from the rooftops that Rav Ashi is the one that was Masada of the Talmud Bavli. I'll tell you something very interesting. Rav Ari Bergman from Lawrence. So he wrote his dissertation on Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac HaLevi's Doiros HaRishonim. It's called The Formation of the Talmud. So it's a synopsis with a lot of hosafos of his on this thesis of Doiros HaRishonim, specifically the formation of the Talmud components. There's a lot more going on in Doiros HaRishonim, but he's referring specifically to this part. On page 117, he brings this whole inyan that Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi made this observation that you find sugyas with his akasha, and an amir is going to say a teretz, and he tells the teretz to Rav Ashi, even though Rav Ashi wasn't mentioned prior, he wasn't mentioned after. This is what he writes. He says, today, Halevi's assertion can be proven by computer-assisted research, which validates his hypothesis, a feat not possible in earlier generations. This author has tested for similar patterns among the most commonly quoted Amiran: Rav Huna, Rav Chizda, Rav Yosef, Rabba, Abaya, Rava, Rav Nachman, Rav Papa, and Ravina. By checking all instances in which answers were addressed to them and verifying that they were previously involved in the same discussion, the phenomenon Halevi found for Rav Ashi is not present even once with any of them. The only Amir that you're going to find this to, where there was a kashna and someone saying the teretz, and he's addressing the teretz to Rav Ash, to someone that wasn't mentioned earlier or later, is going to be Rav Ashi. And that's because Rav Ashi is the one that was Masada. Rav Ashi is the one that was Masada the Talmud Bavli. So this diktuk that Tosfos spoke out on Chulin Daf Beis Amud Beis, which we showed, you see already from other Gemaras as well. But really, this a broader and a more general diktuk, and that diktuk repeats itself over and over and over and over and over again. But I'll tell you one other Dover Nifla. Came as shocking news to me that I saw as I was going through a little bit of Deiros HaRishonim. And this is in Chelek Vav, and this is on page 80. Who was the one that turned to Rav Ashi right in the beginning of Masechtas Chulin? Amalei Rav Acha Brei de Rava Rav Ashi. You ever think twice about the Amir of Acha Brei de Rava? Baya, Rava, Rabba, Rav Yosef, Rav Yochanan, and Reish Lakish. Right, the certain Amirahim that features so prominently. Rav Acha Brei de Rava, I mean, we know it's not the first time we heard Rav Acha Brei de Rava. We've definitely said the words Rav Acha Brei de Rava a lot, but have we ever stopped to meditate a little bit on that name, Rav Acha Brei de Rava? Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi says that if you look, and Be'ez Hashem, we're going to start finding it a lot. If you look, you're going to see Rav Acha Brei de Rava is mentioned countless times in Shas. Countless, you can't count, literally. Not just that. Almost every time he's mentioned, he's talking to Rav Ashi. This idea of Amalei Rav Acha Brei de Rava le Rav Ashi repeats itself close to 100 times in Talmud Bavli, where Rav Acha Brei de Rava is not just saying something, but he's talking directly to Rav Ashi. And said Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac HaLevi, Hurgalnu Lachshav, you ready for this? Rak es Ravina, we're used to thinking of Ravina lo imid al yad Rav Ashi. The Ravina was the right-hand man, so to speak, of Rav Ashi, umisayeya besidur ashas, aval hama'ayin yireh. But if you know how to look, you're going to find ki levad shar chachomim sheyovei zichron uparash smaseim b'chelek shalufneiza. That aside for all the amiram that you find, we're for sure part and parcel of the equation. Hine amad al yodei Rav Acha Brei de Rava. But in a unique way, Rav Acha Brei de Rava was next to him al derech ze atzmoy she'amad inoy Ravina. In the identical way that Ravina was next to him. Rav Acha Brei de Rava, once you know how to look, you'll see, was on Rav Ashi's side in the same exact way as Ravina was on his side. So the Gemara says above Matia Daf Peva, Ravina, Rav Ashi Soifaira. It wasn't just Ravina, Rav Ashi, it was Rav Acha Brei de Rava and Rav Ashi as well. In fact, when you look at Ravina's contribution and you look at Rav Acha Brei de Rava's contribution in the world of Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac HaLevi, who is the Mara de Shmaita, appointed by Rav Chaim Moshe and Rav Chaim Briske v'chulu, to know this inyan, he said, I'm telling you, Rav Acha Brei de Rava is literally side by side. And how much more meaning will that give to sing the words of Acha Brei de Rava? How much more meaning will that give to sing the words Amalei Rav Acha Brei de Rava? Amalei Rav Acha Brei de Rava le Rav Ashi. In other words, this beginning of Masechtas Chulin, Hakol Shoichton Lechatchila, Ushchitas and Sherev B'Di'evin, and we schwitzed over the Pshatovim this Gemara for 2 days, and the Gemara began Amalei Rav Acha Brei de Rava le Rav Ashi. Rav Acha Brei de Rava, Rav Ashi, and the Rav Ashi at the end says, "Amalei Anosh Chitas and Ksheir Kashali." And Taisus, you can almost miss this Taisus, not the most lamed Taisus on the Daf. And all of a sudden, Taisus throws in over here that we can raise Rav Ashi Sida Gemara, and Rav Kiveda sends you to Arashi above a Metzia Daf Peivav. This inyan of understanding the names and appreciating what's going on right here isn't just a Taisefes insight in terms of understanding Chulin Daf Beis. but it's a Tosefes insight in terms of everything that we do, understanding the whole seder of the Gemara, understanding Shas, where Ravina and Rav Ashni and Rav Acha Brei de Rava and his Chavraya Kedisha, they're sitting down and they're going to write now the Pirish on Masechtas Chulin, and they begin Hakol Shoychlin Shchitasim Kshera. And Rav Ashi, who's the head of this Chabur, he puts it out there. Hakol Shoychlin Lechatchila, who's Shchitasim Kshera Dieved? What do you mean, Rav Ashi? Why Rav Ashi puts it out? What's going on over here? And Rav Acha Brei de Rava, who's always, as you're going to see, on his right side, he turns to him and he says, "What do you mean? V'ki Hakol doesn't mean that way." Rav Ashi says, "Let me explain it to you." And then they deliver some contemporary pshatim, like Rav Ashi's own pshat, and like Ravina's pshatim, and then they even bring pshatim from the past, like Abaye v'Rava. This is all in the seder of the Shas. Let's be masader. Let's put it in writing. Abaye v'Rava lived 100 years ago. I understand, but now we're putting it down. Now we're going to canonize it for generations. The bottom line is, it's an insight not only in terms of understanding, this Gemara right here, but really it's a davar sheyotzim and aklal lelamid al aklal kuloi. It's a way of understanding the entire klal of exactly the seder of the Shas. I'll just end. That is, one of the things that you discover when you learn the story of Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi is that, as we mentioned, he was someone that was politically very, very sharp and very respected by all the Gedolei Yisrael, from the Chassidim to the Misnagdim to the Litvisha to the Polisha to the Deitsha. He was somebody that was able to build bridges and was able to unite Yidden in a very, very, very unique way. As a matter of fact, if you know, you know, but Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi was also very instrumental in the founding of Agudas Yisrael. Ad kidei kach, it's claimed that he's the one that came up with the name Agudas Yisrael. He's the one that in one of his letters said, "I even have the name. The name is going to be called Agudas Yisrael because the objective is going to be to unite all the Yidden." And if you look at how far he went to make sure every single Yid was going to be included in his vision of what Agudas Yisrael was going to be, ultimately not everybody joined, Ki Yadua, but read his letters and you'll see what he was trying to do. And he said, "That's what we're going to call it. We're going to call it Agudas Yisrael because we're going to look away from differences and we're going to make sure we're going to unite all the different Yidden." The way Rabbi Ari Bergman concludes his dissertation is that it's so interesting that the legacy of Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi was the Deiros HaRishonim. And a big part of the Deiros HaRishonim, maybe the Iker, but a big part of the Deiros HaRishonim was the formation of the Talmud and his contribution that he gave to Klal Yisrael in terms of understanding the Talmud. It's a few years after Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi passed away at the Knesiyah HaGedoyla, which was hosted by Agudas Yisrael. The idea of Daf Yoimi came about, which further cemented the contribution and the legend of Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi. You know, it's interesting. In today's raid, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi introduced us to an Amora that maybe we never fully appreciated. An unsung hero of the Talmud Bavli, Rav Acha Brei de Rava. I think Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi himself is one of the unsung heroes of Jewish history, a name that the world has forgotten, a name that the world deserves to remember. This was a Yid that contributed so much to the Tzur of Klal Yisrael, the way it is today. He was a Yid that was matzal nefashos at a time when Klal Yisrael was at a tremendous sakana. Yehi zichrei baruch v'yiyusef soysov doivavais bekever.